brought to a tear about what you just saw, you got to check yourself because what our young sister is doing and you being used by the Lord to touch young women's lives and their babies and their boyfriends or their spouses is just absolutely, for the Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely wonderful. And to be able to take a baby bottle and to be able to fill it with our loose change or our treasure that the Lord has entrusted us with is an absolute pleasure to be able to partner with you, Connie. So we are so thankful for you. We love you. You are a part of this work. And at Mount Ridge Bible Chapel, you and your family are beloved by us. And we just thank you for coming and helping us to be a part of this work the Lord has given, entrusted to you, and the impact that you're having for all eternity. So thank you. So good morning and happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the grandmothers, maybe there's some great grandmothers, not sure. And also our spiritual moms. Spiritual moms are really important too. And so we wish you a wonderful, beautiful, happy Mother's Day today. So the thoughts this morning are going to be regarding a mother's influence and impact for all eternity. And just let's just open up in a word of prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to remember mothers. Lord, we think of you, Lord Jesus, and the love for your mother. And we read that in the scriptures. And even upon your going to the cross, you entrusted her to another for her care. And Lord, we look at others like Hannah, and we just think of just, Lord, how you work through mothers and how you have given them such a wonderful and vibrant and important role, and how you have wired them with DNA for love and compassion for their offspring. And so, Lord, we know that mothers have an impact for all eternity. And so we're thankful for that. We pray that this morning we've been encouraged as we look into your scriptures and then think about how can we love our mothers even today. So we give you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so if you would open up your Bibles, if you have one. If not, there's probably one in the pew. And we're going to be looking at, you can turn to page 960 as well as 1031 in the Chapel Bible. We'll be looking at some passages here in Acts chapter 16, and then we're moving over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. So let's look at Acts 16, 1 through 5. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul went to have him go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and increased in number daily. And if we can go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, again, page 1031 in your Pew Bible. Then I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to be stirred up by the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. And then we'll just go over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses 14 and 15. But you must continue in these things, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ.
Okay, the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his public word this morning. So, a couple thoughts as we begin this morning. There's a story here of a junior high science teacher who lectured on the properties of magnets for his entire class. The next day, he gave his students a quiz, and the first question read like this. My name begins with an M, has six letters, and I pick up things. What am I? And half the class stood up and raised their hands and said, Mother. I think that's probably quite appropriate if I look back on my days with my mother. And then I thought here is that by the time a child reaches 18 years old, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. We can't substantiate it, but it's probably true, which includes everything from laundry to teaching to mending wounds to everything else. So this morning we have a unique opportunity to think about mothers. And mothers from the scripture, and again, for the impact they have for all eternity. And as we think about Mother's Day, it's always kind of good to go back and kind of understand a little bit about the history of Mother's Day. So the founder of the American Mother's Day was Anna Jarvis, and she was from West Virginia. And her mother, Ann Jarvis, she was a social activist who organized women's groups to promote peace and health during the Civil War. After Anna's mother's passing in 1905, Anna Jarvis dedicated her life to creating a national Mother's Day to honor her mother, whom she loved so much, and all mothers. And at the memorial service for her mother, Anna Jarvis gave a carnation, which was her mother's most favorite flower, to all those that were in attendance. To those whose mother had passed away, it was a white carnation. And to those mothers who were living, it was a red carnation. The first official Mother's Day was celebrated in Grafton, West Virginia, which was Anna's hometown, in 1908. And it gained momentum across the United States, and Mother's Day was observed in many large cities in the U.S. starting on May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, and then the President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson. And Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second day in May as Mother's Day, established as a time for a public expression of our love and reverence for all mothers of our country. So that's a little bit of a little history lesson on Mother's Day and why we celebrate today and how that came about. Well, let me talk to you about my mothers. And there was a message I gave 12 years ago that was similar to this message. And that message was actually given approximately 6 weeks after my mother's passing. And so that message was really sincere to me. And I think back now, as my mother has gone 12 years, she's with her Lord, I'm thankful for that. I think back on my mother. And as I was putting this today, we all have these memories of our mother. So I start with my grandmother on my paternal side. Her name was Annie Heron McLaughlin. She was born in Scotland, but her mother passed away 3 weeks after her birth. And she was raised by her paternal father's family in Ireland. And she immigrated to the United States in 1921 at the age of 19 years old. She came to the United States, no real skill set per se, but she worked in service for some wealthy Americans in Morris County. She met my grandfather, who came from Northern Ireland about 10 years later, and they were married together. They opened up a gospel hall in their home in Marstown, New Jersey, called the Marstown Gospel Hall. They were together devout Christians, lovers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1962, they came to this little local church and fellowshiped here for many, many years. My grandmother was beloved. I loved her. She loved the Lord, and she helped me to know and to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, a real godly grandmother in my life. On my maternal side, Gertrude Swenson, born in Nova Scotia in 1899. She was, I don't have a lot of history on how she came to the United States, but she came to the state of Maine, where she would reside. She would marry my grandfather, Frederick Swenson. They would raise three children. And I believe my grandmother did not know the Lord when she came over to the States. But there was a traveling preacher from Nova Scotia. His name was Clark McClellan. And he came around to the Spring Hill Gospel Hall in Westbrook, Maine. And through his ministry and the leading of the Holy Spirit, my grandmother, and then hence my mother, my aunt, and my uncle all came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to reside in that work for many, many years. She died at 95 years old. She had a wonderful life. We didn't see her a whole lot, but when we did, she exemplified Jesus Christ. So I have wonderful memories of my two grandmothers. And then my mother, beloved mother, Lorna Marie Swenson McLaughlin, passed away in 2013, right down the road here at the nursing home. She was, again, came to know the Lord through Sunday school at this Spring Hill Gospel Hall. She would marry my father, who would have gone to school up in Boston, and they would have come back down here. They would have spent 3 or 4 years ago in the United States Army traveling at different bases, and then they would reside back here in Marshtown, New Jersey, and eventually in 1965, come and fellowship here as well. My mom was soft-spoken. She was a domestic engineer, a homemaker. She was at everything that we did. She was involved in every PTO organization there was. She was behind the scenes. She was quiet, but she loved the Lord. And so I am very thankful for my mother as I think about her. As I think about my spiritual mothers, you see this photo here of the Sunday school. I'm in there somewhere, but it's got to be like I'm 7 years old, I think, probably, right? And it's actually downstairs if you want to take a look at it. But there are many women in this photo who are my spiritual mothers, who loved me unconditionally and taught me Sunday school and encouraged me in my faith. People like Betty Howard, people like Hilda Trimmer, Anika Tyson, Nancy Collette. Mrs. Howard is special to me because she was my Sunday school teacher. And she would come at the eight when we could when we were young, and we would go into the Sunday school rooms in the back room there. And it was a time when you could have peanuts in the classroom. And so she would put out this little napkin so daintily. She would pour out the little planter's peanuts, and we'd have peanuts and a glass of water as she taught us Sunday school. I cherish those memories because she cared, and because she loved, and because she entrusted her life into us as children. And that didn't stop. And throughout the years, even when I was a young father and I was trying to raise kids, and she would come up to me and she would get hold of my arm like she did. And she'd look into my face and focus on me. And she says, "Tim, I think you need to come to the men's prayer meeting. I think it would be helpful for you." She had a subtle way of encouraging. And so I think about spiritual moms, and they are so, so important as well. So I just wanted to bring that to you. You know, Mother's Day can come with all sorts of memories and emotions. For many of us that our mothers have passed away, it can be kind of a difficult day. Many memories flood our minds, and we think about those special times. And even sometimes a word or a smell or a situation can automatically trigger a memory that takes us back to our mothers. Some mothers may have difficult, or some may have here have difficult memories of their mothers. Maybe memories that they don't want to dwell on because there's pain. Maybe there were relationships with their mothers that were difficult or strained. So it can be a difficult day for some. Many or some may see their mothers aging right in front of them, and seeing once strong and vibrant women now feeble, maybe and weak in their mind and their body. So that could be hard as well. And some may have the desire to be a mother, but that didn't come a reality in their life. So that can be difficult too. And some mothers are reminded on this day of struggles with their children, strained relationships, maybe hurt or regret, or a great desire to have those relationships renewed and mended. And some are waiting to be mothers, expectantly waiting for a child to arrive, the nervousness of entering into motherhood, or maybe even those grandmothers that are waiting for their first grandchild to come forward and to look forward to what is next, of the next generation of their offspring. So Mother's Day comes with great emotions and memories, some very good, but some also very hurtful. So I think it's important that we are cognizant of that as well. So as we look at our passage this morning, Acts chapter 16 and then 2 Timothy, the passages here relate to Paul and Timothy. So we read that Paul found Timothy in Lystra. We read that in chapter 16 of Acts. His mother, Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a Jewish, but a believer, it says. Very clearly it says she was a believer, and his father was Greek. Scriptures say that Timothy was well-spoken amongst the believers there, and that Paul wanted to take young Timothy along on his secondary missionary journey. And Paul would call Timothy his son in the faith. They would go together with others, including Silas, in chapter 16 of Acts, and verse 4 says, delivering to them, that meaning the churches, the decrees. And you can go back to chapter 15, you can actually see that. To keep which they determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. To help those new Gentile believers in the practice aspects of their integration into the new church and the requirements to abstain from as well going forward. And it says, and the churches were encouraged in faith and they increased daily. Paul and Timothy would become close companions and evangelists together. And Paul was a true mentor to young Timothy as a father in the faith. Paul's letters to be written to his dear companion, that is Timothy 1 and 2, they are pastoral letters. They were meant to exhort Timothy, to tell Timothy to hold the truth, stand firm in the faith, endure hardship, and be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul speaks of the ones who influenced Timothy from the beginning, gave Timothy a firm foundation in Christ, helped build his faith, helped Timothy with the ideas of service and missions and points directly in the scriptures to his grandmother and to his mother. Lois, the grandmother, Eunice, the mother, and they begat Timothy, three generations of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, Timothy had to place his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had good, strong examples in his home with his mother and his grandmother in their faith. Obviously, there would have been good spiritual teaching, Christ-centered teaching, that would have been present in the home. And his faith as a young boy would have been strengthened by them living out their faith right before him. And in 2 Timothy, Paul in his pastoral letter will say this to Timothy. Before Paul's passing, he will urge Timothy, the pastor now, to fight for the gospel, to pursue righteousness, to hold fast and endure in sound teaching, to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and to be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, to preach the word of God in season and out of season. For Timothy, the journey the Lord would lead Timothy along started in the home. It started in the home with his godly mother and his godly grandmother, committing themselves to the spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ for their son and for their grandson. So I would encourage all of us this morning, because this is Mother's Day, we're talking about this, but this is just so appropriate for fathers as well. Let us never underestimate the commitment of godly mothers, both our biological mothers and our spiritual mothers. Never underestimate them. They have a tremendous responsibility. They have a tremendous role, and they can impact eternity with that. And I just want to again say that there are so many women here today that I want to encourage you to be a spiritual mom to the children that are here. Reach out to those young kids. Let them know who you are. Encourage them. Speak to them. Know them. Be a part of their lives. That's biblical, actually. That's very biblical. And so I ask you, all dear sisters, to love all of our children here. Love them all, because they need your love and they need your support. Well, godly mothers, as I mentioned, definitely have a spiritual purpose and awesome responsibility to form the future of children. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, we know, well, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I will tell you, I struggle with that a bit. I don't see it as a promise, but I do see it as a principle. And we have to remember that our offspring, our children, they are sinners just like us. Our children must make the decision whether to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience or not. And if you are a mother here today, and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have come to him for forgiveness of your sin, you've accepted his work of redemption, for as he paid for your sin penalty on the cross of Calvary, you confess your sins before him, knowing that you are a sinner, Christ has generously given you salvation by his grace and mercy through his life and through his death and through his resurrection. And that salvation, dear mothers, that you have is yours for all eternity. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But dear mothers, and we also say dear fathers, we cannot pass along our salvation inheritance to our children. We can be that godly example. We can point them to the scriptures. We can point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't do that for them. They must come to Christ themselves and choose to be obedient, to walk in righteousness unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. They need to know that. They need to act upon that. Deuteronomy 13, verse 11, love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and your soul and mind. And then Psalm 119, thy words, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yes, much prayer, instruction, wisdom, love, and understanding is required. Living out your faith in front of your children and those principles, those biblical principles, is absolutely, absolutely required. It does start in the home, originates in the home. It continues in this local church and in all local churches, it should, by loving and caring adults. And then it continues through discipleship and relationships that morph into wisdom, gentle guidance, and fervent prayer, no matter what the age of a child. Our children are always our children. And I was just thinking about that, and as our children get older and they go on their way, we never lose the opportunity to pray for them, do we? Never. And it becomes so much more important as they get older. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We see that in James. The intensity and passion of fervent prayer. Fervent prayer is not just a casual request. It's a passionate outpouring of the heart of God, often marked by strong emotions and a deep sense of urgency. Mothers with adult children, do we have that intensity for our adult children? Sincerity and humility, it stems from a genuine desire to connect with God and a recognition of our own limitations and needs. A true sincerity and humbleness unto the Lord that we're not capable, but He is. And then spiritual guidance, absolute guidance, reliance upon the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, your will be done, whatever the cost. So prayer is so important, moms, for you and for dads, for our young children, for our adult children, no matter what the age. Just wanted to just kind of read one quote to you from George Washington, and or two quotes from George Washington and Abraham Lincoln about their mothers. George Washington said this. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All that I am and I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And then President Lincoln said this, "God bless my mother. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to her." And his mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, actually was 34 years old when she passed away. And young Abraham Lincoln was just 9. So maybe just some practical ways of loving our mothers. You know, loving anyone, loving our mothers is not always easy. Understanding life can be messy, and we don't always agree, and we all have our personal hang-ups and issues, but that should not exclude us from loving our mothers. And I just want to give you 7 ideas on this. I would say, love our mothers verbally. You know, men will say, "Well, I don't have to say I love you. She already knows it." How many times have we said that, brothers? Or, "I'll show love, not just say it." Men, we are mindful and we are exhorted to tell our wives, our spouses, who are the mother of our children, that we love them and that we care for them. We need to say it. And I start with myself first. Moms need to hear the words from their loved ones, "Mom, I love you." And I would say, do it now while you can, because tomorrow is no promise. And I wish today I could say it a lot more than I can now. I said it to my mom as she was very close to death on that bed down at Autumn Lake as I was holding her hand. And I said multiple times as she was starting to go, the Lord was starting to take her, "Mom, I love you." I don't think she was conscious. I don't know that. But I wish I said it more often. Let's not forget that. Love our moms physically. A hug, A kiss, a touch, holding your hand. We all need affections. That's who we are. We're human beings, and we need that desired contact. Love our mothers patiently. We need to show patience with our mothers. Yes, our moms are superwomen. We know that. Yes, you all are. But you carry a lot. You carry huge burdens. We need to be patient with you and understanding. And I think especially as our moms get older and they start to move into people that are different than what we thought when we were younger, we just need to have that real gracious patience with our mothers. To love our mothers attentively, we need to be attentive to our mothers. We need to, as they have always lent a sympathetic ear to us, we need to be lending our sympathetic ear to them as well. And when we are thinking or we have that conversation with them attentively, we want to listen to them, not just hear them. We want to be focused on them and to listen to them and to have that interaction attentively with them. We want to love them gratefully, saying thank you with a sincere heart when not expected. Just, Mom, I am so grateful for you. Thank you, Mom. I wish I could say that again. Being verbally thankful to them for, thank you for the role model that you've been to me in Christ. Thank you for your commitment to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving me in that unconditional love, even when I was unloving. And then just praying for our mothers as well. They pray for us. Oh, they pray fervently for us. Well, let's pray for them with hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. And then to love them generously, not just with flowers. Yes, that's a nice token. We love to do that. But with our time and with our connections. Especially as moms get older, they just want time with us. They just want to be with us. Do it before it's too late. And then love them honorably. We know Exodus 20 verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. It's really a sincere respect and appreciation for them. No matter if you're young or you're an older adult child, and we can really just love our mothers honorably. We know Proverbs 31, verses 28 and 30 through 31 says, her children will call her blessed, her husband also. And he praises her, for a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Do we call our moms blessed? Our moms are wonderful. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have hang-ups, but our moms are wonderful. And I just want to end with a poem. It's called My Mother, My Loving Mother. Your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given life to me, my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do his will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair, and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown to me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another. who spreads her gentle love and care, like you, my loving mother. A mother's influence is tremendous. A mother's role, as God has given her that role, is tremendous. That influence can impact all eternity. We are thankful for you, mothers. We're thankful for you, the biological mothers. We're thankful for all the spiritual mothers. Unto the Lord, you are precious. He has given you a wonderful role that no one else can handle. Only you can. And as I think about the Lord and his love for his mother, Mary, and his deep concern for her at the cross, I just think the Lord loves you, mothers. He lifts you up. He calls you to love your own. He calls you to love the others in a spiritual way as well. And we're thankful for you today. So happy Mother's Day. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the gift of mothers. We thank you for how you created the family unit and gave the woman a special role as being mothers. Compassion and care and understanding, Lord, that only a mother can give. And Lord, we think that this day of the emotions and the memories, Lord, that are here with us and that we carry. And for us that our mothers are gone, Lord, we just thank you and we just rejoice and we thank you for them. For the moms that are here, Lord, we just pray that we would show great love, commitment, and just great and wonderful support to them. We're thankful for the biological moms, but we're also very thankful for the spiritual moms who love all children and show the love of Christ, Lord, here. And so, Lord, we just thank you for these thoughts. We thank you for the example of Timothy. We're thankful for the example of Eunice and Lois, Lord. And Lord, we just say, Lord, that a mother's influence has impact for all eternity. So Lord, now just part us with your blessing. Help us to enjoy this day. In the precious name of our loving, living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.